welcome to Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and my guest today, you may know him as the host of Bloomers in the Garden, which you can hear on some of our Beasley sister stations, Len Schroeder. He is the owner, and how would you describe yourself, Grand Favot of Bloomers Home and Garden in Washington Township in Gloucester County, New Jersey. What are you?
Me? Chief bottle washer. What do they call that? I do just about everything.
Oh, and let's see. We are taping this at the very beginning of April. So the world is changing daily, but I know that the home and garden industry is taking it in the shorts right now.
We are. And there are certain areas where Pennsylvania, a lot of the garden centers are closed. So our brethren across the river, they are having a tough time. And that they're actually are trying to get opened as an essential business. In New Jersey, they were deemed an essential business. For instance, we are the first connection for people to grow their own food, and that it's important for people to start their gardens or to actually, in this climate of fear, to know where their food is coming from.
And you know what? Before we began, you said, hey, look at my website. And you showed me all of the Victory Garden old signs. And a new generation is being introduced to the Victory Garden.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And generational, because everyone is at home. So now you have kids not being in school. So they're learning things about gardening. And it's important.
So that is what today's show is going to be about. We're going to introduce non-gardeners to the joy of getting your hands down and dirty. And whether you're producing some flowers for the table or Brussels sprouts and peas, and it's a true Victory Garden, we're going to introduce people to getting started in the wonderful world of gardening.
Great.
Okay, so how do we get started?
First thing. Plants grow from sun. So if you can find a spot at your home in your yard, but it doesn't have to be in the ground in your yard, because we talked about having above ground planters that you could grow vegetables in. Now, the ideal spot would be an area that's maybe 10 by 10, and that would be in full sun. And get a shovel, start digging.
Okay. All right. So let's get started with, you don't actually have to have land or 10 by 10. I've seen, because the station used to do projects with PHS, Pennsylvania mm-hmm. Horticultural Society, and one of the participants showed what you could do in a tub. They had this huge wine barrel, and in that one wine barrel with a trellis stuck in it, they were producing tomatoes enough to feed a small army.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can do that in different ways. Like, for instance, I have no plants in the ground for vegetables. I have them all planted on window boxes on my deck. I work long hours around vegetables. I just want to be able to go out on my deck and grab some herbs and go ahead and cook with them. And you can do things like that.
So the important thing is, it doesn't matter how much space you have. You just want it to be a space in the sun.
That's right. Space in the sun. And then you have to also think vertically, where anytime there's something in a pot, having it grow over, it can get a little sloppy and the harvest can be less. So you would need to stake it and make sure that it's not going to become a sail and blow over every day.
So we've got sun. You started to talk about the dirt itself and digging it up.
Now there's a rule.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as dirt. Dirt's what you sweep under the rug. You have to say soil. Soil. Again, soil, you need to get a decent potting soil, and that look for a potting soil that has organic matter in it and other things, just more than just peat moss and fertilizer. Like, the most popular brand has mostly peat moss, and it's sprayed with a fertilizer. And then when that's depleted, you're left with peat moss.
So right now we're talking about container gardening.
Correct.
When we talk about potting soil. But what if, let's face it, that can be fairly expensive. And if you've got a large tub, if you're lucky mm-hmm. enough to have a balcony with sun and you've got a big tub and you want to start a garden,
right.
Is it possible to treat or create your own potting soil from earth?
The problem is it's too heavy in this area, and it will not have the drainage required to be able to be successful. And that's the key, and because you don't want the plants to, they'll actually end up not being able to get enough oxygen around the root system, and it will actually kill the plant. The pre-done potting soils will have decent drainage.
Can you treat earth that you dig from a yard?
you would have to supplement it with almost as much that you would have to buy potting soil for. So it's a 50-50 blend at minimum that you would blend. And there's something out there that's called bumper crop, which is a mixture of peat moss. It has bark fines in it. It actually has composted lobster shells. It is got chicken manure. It has some cow manure. It has everything but the kitchen sink, we like to say. And that will enrich the potting soil. And if you're going to try to put some real soil that you've dug out of your yard, but you've got to be very careful, because what happens is that it will compact around the roots and it won't allow drainage. And then you'll end up watering. You'll end up with mud.
Now, if we do this, how long will potting soil last? Can you use it the following year? Or when this crop is done, can you plant something else in it?
You absolutely can plant something else with it. We like to recommend replacing the soil the following year because it does get depleted of nutrients, but put it in a place where you can use it in the ground. Like if you, again, most people may not have a yard to put it in, but if they are reusing it year after year, it becomes nothing more than just brown stuff. That's the technical term.
Brown stuff.
The brown stuff.
The brown stuff.
Because there's nothing else in it.
All right. Well, so say we're lucky and we have a patch of ground, land.
Very good.
And it's in the sun. Okay. We're a city. Where you are. But obviously, I live in Philadelphia, and
yes,
most people around here, we live in an urban region. Even
right,
if we're in the suburbs, you know, we don't know what's been underneath the ground. Is the earth underneath that, is that soil good to use? And is it just peel
yes,
the grass back?
Yeah, yes, it is. That you want to get rid of any of the grass, weeds, rocks, stone, and you want to turn it over to about 8 to 10 inches deep. You still would incorporate organic matter into that because, again, it may not have exactly the right elements in it. It's going to be depleted in itself. Just again, we're talking about Philadelphia. It's an old city. And where if you're applying things like that bumper crop that I mentioned, it's going to add everything that you need to make that soil tillable.
What about composting? Okay, again, we're starting about beginners now.
Yes.
You haven't started a compost heap or haven't
right,
been in your kitchen where you've been collecting for a while. Is
right,
there anything you can add now?
A compost is going to take a while, but it absolutely is great for your soil. And that's kind of what bumper crop is. You heard all of the things that I mentioned in there. If you're composting everything from coffee grinds to banana peels and eggs and things like that, you're getting nutrients that you're going to eventually use in your soil, but they have to decompose enough so that they're a good additive, not something like you're putting trash in your garden.
So we've got two projects that we're working on right now. We're starting our garden this year, and we're starting to compost at mm-hmm, the same time.
That's right.
And what are we saving for the compost? We're going to work. When I said we were going to work this through A to Z, look at how we're doing this. We've got sun. We got soil. You know, we're going to talk water next. But so,
that's right.
But,
that's
so,
right.
But that compost for the soil, what should a kitchen be hanging on to, and how do we keep it?
Well, that's up to you and how much you can tolerate. Again, it's going to be those softer type of things that you know will decompose quickly, because a good compost needs to be turned and it needs to have oxygen that runs through it. You can't just put it on a heap and leave it. If you're turning it, you're going to have better results from it. Take eggs, take, like I had mentioned, some of the peels, potato peels and other things, and that's going to be rebuilding that soil. But some people say use cardboard. I disagree with that. There's a lasagna method that uses cardboard. I find that method not to work because it compacts the soil, and it's, again, send your hate mail too. I just do not agree with that method.
Okay. We've got our soil. We've mm-hmm, we've taken it down. We've taken away all of the grass and the weeds and the rocks. We've
right,
turned it over 8 yep, to 10 inches.
Correct.
Can we just plant anything we want, or do we have to worry about the soil's chemical makeup?
Well, you do want to get a pH test on your soil. A pH is going to tell you basically how acidic your soil is. And being a city, that we have a lot of naturally acidic soil to begin with, but then there's acid rain and there's things that we experience that often lower the pH. So you need to get your pH tested. You can do that yourself, or you can bring it to your local garden center and they will be able to test it for you.
Do we still have things like county extension agents?
Absolutely. Ah. Absolutely. They are a huge help. We often find that new gardeners are sometimes confused by how they talk. They talk gardening on a higher level, and sometimes it's intimidating.
But what is a county extension agency?
Oh, I'm sorry. A county extension agent is someone, it literally is a county extension agent for that county. Now, they are a liaison between the information from colleges like Penn State and even like in New Jersey where Rutgers, and that they also have other programs for gardeners. Like, I am sure Philadelphia has a master gardener program that they will teach you how to garden, and not only vegetable gardens, but flower gardens and trees and shrubs as well.
If we just do not have the resources to mm-hmm. check pH, are there plants out there that anyone can grow no matter what the circumstances?
That is a loaded question.
I know it. I had to do it.
Because as a horticulturist, I'm supposed to say no. But it's pretty hard not to grow good tomatoes. It's pretty hard not to grow good peppers. And that if you start with those, and again, it's a little early for that. But right now, you certainly could start some peas. They would grow pretty decently. But if your soil has the wrong pH, and this is why pH is so important. pH, if it is too acidic, no matter what nutrient value, what fertilizer you use, the nutrients get locked up into the soil and the plants can't absorb them. So it's like going out to dinner and say we were back in the 70s and they still smoke in restaurants. No matter how great the food was, you couldn't enjoy it because the guy next to you is smoking a cigar. So you really couldn't enjoy it. If your pH is off, it's the same thing for your poor vegetable plants. They can't absorb the nutrients and grow to their fullest potential and enjoy that fertilizer that you have in the soil. So you need to really get that pH checked.
And what's the cure if the pH is off?
Well, luckily now that there's companies like Jonathan Green as a new product, probably 2 years old now, called Magic Cal, and it's MAGICAL, and it's magnesium, iron, calcium, and that combination of products or elements will raise your pH, but also it will give you cures. Like, have you ever grown tomatoes and have that like weird scab thing that grows on the bottom of them? That's from low calcium, and that will, so you can also raise your pH with the Magic Cal, but it also, because of the calcium, it improves that as well.
And if you're just joining us, this is our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we have Lynn Schroeder. He's the owner of Bloomers Home and Garden Center, which is in Washington Township in Gloucester County, New Jersey. You might also recognize him from Bloomers in the Garden, a radio show heard on some of your Beasley stations here in this area. If you'd like more information from Lynn, he's found at bloomers.com, and you can always follow him on Facebook, because on Facebook they post what's current and what's going on in your gardening world absolutely today. When it's time to put those tomatoes or those pansies into the ground, you're going to find that out on a day-to-day basis at Bloomers Home and Garden Center on Facebook. Now, we've got sun, we have soil. I mentioned water.
Water.
And let's face it, some people will be hauling water to that container garden.
That's right.
Or having to worry about a 10 by 10 plot is really kind of a difficult thing to water if you don't have a hose handy.
That's right. One thing we find with a lot of our customers is that they almost care too much for their vegetable garden, where they may apply too much water. But if you are in full sun and it is August, you should probably be watering your garden twice a week. And you want to water enough so that it penetrates down about 6 or 8 inches. You don't want to waste time just getting the surface wet, because then you're encouraging all of those roots to grow along the surface rather than go deep where they can be protected and be shaded from drying out. So make sure that when you water that you emulate rain. You become the rainmaker, and that you're going to create enough water in the soil so that it penetrates deep. And that way you'll water less often.
So not as often, but deeper.
Correct.
Okay.
More at one time, less often, always.
So now let's get into the plants themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that it's pretty easy to grow tomatoes, and it's pretty easy to grow peppers.
Right.
Cabbage. Isn't cabbage kind of easy, too? What are some of – start with the basics, easy.
Because of the time of the year.
Because
of the time of the year, we're early. So it's cold out. So there's only a few things that you can grow right now. Now, things like – beets, and like you mentioned, cabbage. Cabbage is a great one to grow, but you do have to keep an eye on insects. Like there's a certain little green caterpillar that will eat those. Now, have you ever seen the white little butterfly that comes around? It's so cute and mm-hmm. pretty. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I don't like them because that's the actual adult of that cabbage worm called a cabbage looper, and that they will eat not only cabbage, but they will also eat kale. Now, kale is a superfood, and kale is easy to grow, but you do have to keep after making sure that you're not growing a nice crop of cabbage looper on them.
It's mid-April.
Yep.
When can we actually start putting things into the ground?
The technical answer is May 15th is the frost-free date. Now, I'll give you a hint on what I look for. I look for the last full moon before May 15th, and that usually is the coldest night before our last frost. And after that time, if we have cloudy weather, the 10-day forecast is calling for rain, generally we will not have a frost before then. So you could get a jump on things almost 10 days early.
Are we planting seeds or are we planting plants?
Depends on how patient you are, because there's one thing we didn't mention was weeds. But if you put in plants, it's going to be easier for you to care for than if you did seeds. Now, right now, being the middle of April, we could start our seeds now inside and transplant them outside later.
Well, what do you recommend?
If you have kids, beans are great because their little fingers can pick them up and put them in the soil. Peas are the same way, but both of those can be started inside now. Tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, all can be started now. You could even start cucumbers, squash. But again, it depends on the size of your garden. You have a garden, not a farm. So make sure that you don't go too crazy, because if you go with too many seed packets, you can find yourself that you've got more plants and not enough garden.
What about sharing plants? And here we're getting into flowers, et cetera, as well. And that's an inexpensive way. Sorry, garden guy, but
it's okay. No,
garden store guy. I'm saying this, but that's another inexpensive way of starting your gardening. And what about those onions that have sprouted, or garlic mm-hmm. that has sprouted, potatoes with eyes? Are any of those plantable?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. You have to keep in mind how long it will take to get that to the point where putting an onion that has sprouted is, you don't really want to do that because it's already a full grown onion. But what you need to do is get something called an onion set. But you absolutely could take a potato and plant a potato, and that it will grow roots and will eventually have the potatoes underneath the ground that will be growing that you'll get. The problem with that is that really you could get eyes where every little sprout is, where those are available for purchase, where it's more like hash browns, if you will, or that you would plant in the ground, and then they become full-grown potatoes.
Can you cut it up around the eyes? How much of a potato must be kept with the eye?
The problem with that is that you have potential of it rotting in the ground. So it needs to have some time to where it's dried out a bit, and that's what you're looking for. So I would rather see somebody, if they planted the whole potato rather than starting to cut it up and then plant it right in, there's a good chance that it may rot.
Okay, so if you've got that bag of potatoes and you're crying going, oh, son of a gun, well, nope, you've got a potato crop coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, possibly.
And so sharing plants is another way of, you know, starting that flower garden. And are there rules of thumb about taking plants from somebody? I mean, if my neighbor did one time, though. It was kind of funny. But, you've got a neighbor and they've got this beautiful plant, and you say, oh, I would love to have that. And they go, yes, let us give you some of it.
Right.
How do you share a plant?
Well, you can do it a couple of ways. First of all, there are sometimes where it will come up for a sucker, or there'll be it'll be able to be split. And that means you can divide the plant and share it with a friend or a neighbor. Julio and I on Bloomers in the Garden often talk about how when you go to an event to share a plant with somebody, because that way, every time they see that plant, they'll be thinking of you. I think it's a great idea.
That's a great idea. When all of this is over and we get to spend time with each other, that would be a wonderful way of starting a new tradition.
That's absolutely correct.
So what would you suggest? What does somebody need tool-wise to do all of this? And again, bare minimum.
Bare minimum would be a good digging fork, and that way they can turn over the ground easier. If they go right for a shovel, sometimes a shovel is just going to leave clumps where you could turn it, where a digging fork can break up the soil as well. So you're getting two jobs for one tool. Then a small shovel like a trowel would be helpful, whether you're planting or whether you're applying some fertilizer or things around the plants, you can use that. Honestly, that's about it.
Now, you just mentioned around the plants, and we talked mm-hmm. about weeds earlier.
Yes.
So we've got a garden started, and we want to keep the weeds down. And this is flowers or vegetables. Mm-hmm. How do we keep the weeds away? Is it sitting there and plucking them out one at a time? Or and can you poison one and get them all? Or can you? Or could you put some kind of a mulchy stuff down?
All of the above. Now, I was thinking today about how there's orange theory, and now in this time of social distancing that they're closed, I think there should be a green theory where you can go out, get some exercise, pull some weeds, turn over the garden. But to control weeds, I'm not a fan of weed fabric, and that's a fabric that you can put down. But what it does is it, again, compacts the soil. So if you keep the soil loose and it is not compacted, the seeds can't grow in that soil. And if they do and they're young enough, you can go ahead and we mentioned some other tools. A hoe is what a hoe is used for, that it's used to go and pull the weeds out from around your vegetable plants.
Oh, so you're just really just pulling them up and letting them rot there.
Exactly. You're loosening the soil so that the roots can't go and anchor in and then become a problem later on.
But what about shredded newspapers or mulches that we see in the stores?
Mulches are okay. Shredded newspapers are okay. But you have to make sure that they're not necessarily going to be turned over into your garden. As newspaper compacts, compaction is an issue in the soil, especially if you have not put a lot of organic matter in it. Because, again, it will take the roots of your vegetables and your they won't have enough oxygen around the roots because the newspaper first will compact it and it will take, you won't be able to get around it. Also, watering becomes an issue where it will shed water right off of it. Nutrients will not go through it. So there are issues with that. Mulch is a good idea, but you want to make sure that you're using something that doesn't decompose, that doesn't have any insect issues. I do not recommend using a dyed mulch because it's up to 20% demolition wood. Using something like cedar is a good choice because it's natural. But when your garden is finished, you want to pull it to the edges so that you don't work it into your soil, and that you can use it again.
You know, let's talk about mulch for a minute. A lot of us are saving money, or we just can't find somebody in our neighborhood who will work on our yards.
Right.
Maybe we're going to go out there and do it ourselves.
Okay. Good for you.
Well, yeah, but
we're
now,
there to help.
Okay, you look at a yard, and maybe it's shaggy and you know how to mow grass, but then when it comes to taking care of the trees on your property or the leaves that have fallen, should you always rake them up? Because there are still leaves out now from last fall.
There are. The thicker and the harder the leaves are, like a oak leaf, you should rake up. Something that ginkgos are always popular, and there's different types of trees that where the actual leaves will break up and fall through. But the larger the leaf, the more important it is to get up. And that you can compost leaves, but it does take a while. It does take a while.
So if you left them in last fall and they're a big mucky mess, you should pull them out.
Have you been to my yard?
I've got a yard.
Where they should go. Most towns are recycling. Now, as far as being in the city, you have really a leaf issue, but in the suburbs, most towns are doing recycling, and that they are either given to recyclers that will grind them up and use them as soil, where they will compost them, or they'll give them to farmers that will turn it over into their fields.
So if we do have leaves still in there, mm-hmm. get them out of there.
Yep. Get them out of there. It'll compact over the grass. You can, on the smaller leaves and smaller size leaves, if you have them, you can try to mulch over them with your lawnmower, and that can help. But it also may build up a thatch layer, which is not a good thing. So, hey, if you take care of your lawn and you thatch every 2 years, go ahead and give it a try. But if you don't thatch your lawn, don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay. Next question. What about trees and mulch?
What about trees and mulch?
I see it piled high.
Yeah.
Even I know that's that's bad.
You want to have a 4-inch layer of mulch. And people want to put fresh mulch on every year. And landscapers out there, are you listening? Because sometimes you are the worst offenders. You just automatically add more mulch and add more mulch and add more mulch. Where really what you could do is just turn over the existing mulch that you had, and that's enough. If you put too much mulch on, again, you're starving the tree of oxygen, and you're also creating an area where nutrients can't get through.
It's bad against the trunk of the tree, isn't it?
It is. Anything over 4 inches, you know, up to 4 inches, you're pretty much okay. Because again, if you put in 4 inches of mulch, it compacts down to 2. But if you did 4 inches last year and 4 inches this year and another 4, you're going to end up with a foot along that tree. And that absolutely is bad.
I've seen trees that are, they look like they're sitting in pudding. They are, seriously, you know, there's a huge pile of mulch. Right. And I think, well, even I know that is too much mulch.
Yeah. What happens is that the bark can start to rot, and it also can have insects like borers and things live in there, and they can really just destroy a tree, and all of a sudden it's dead, and mm-hmm. you wonder why.
Well, okay, starting us off for the spring, what are some good resources for somebody who is just getting started?
And are they going to get started with a garden or with their maintenance of their home
landscape? Let's
start
with the garden.
Good resource for is your local garden center. They are a clearinghouse for information that you can tap into, and they're like, they're your neighborhood friend that you can continue to go to. And again, you're going to tell them where your property is. You bring them a soil sample. They'll tell you if your pH is good, or is it acidic, or is it alkaline? What do you need to do? They'll help you along the way. So your best resource is your local garden center. And again, you want to, they'll tell you how big a garden center. You can say, oh, I want a few pots, or I want to just grow a couple of tomatoes. They can help you with that too. And that there are so many choices that they have available. The plants that are available, at this point, we are just starting to get peppers in. And there are so many types of hot peppers right now that I have coming in this weekend. It's amazing, because before it was you have hot peppers and sweet peppers. Now you have 100 different type of hot peppers, and you can tell them by the scale of how hot they actually are. Like, is it a Carolina Reaper where you have to go to the hospital after you bite into one? Or is it kind of a spicy sweet? So your local garden center is the place to go.
And also online?
Online, there are a few good sources. Pennsylvania Horticulture Society is probably one of the best organizations, and online they have resources galore. You had mentioned also your local county agricultural agent, absolutely the best information. I can speak for New Jersey, and Rutgers website is incredible. And again, you're going to the agricultural portion of the state school, like Penn State. And again, for New Jersey, it would be Rutgers. There are so many care sheets, and it's information that is unbiased, where it's not like it's a brand trying to sell their wares. They know what you need, and they'll give you the information without having to be a sales pitch.
Okay. And of course, you have a garden center yourself.
Yes, I do.
My guest today is Lynn Schroeder. He is owner of Bloomers Home and Garden. You can find them at bloomers.com or follow them on Facebook. Just look up Bloomers Home and Garden Center and you will find them there. PHS, the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society, can be found at PHS online. And no matter where you are, you will find information there. And again, go to your local college or your local, what is it called?
Agricultural. agricultural agent.
Your local agricultural agent, and you will find them, of course, at your county listings. So, Len, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
And good luck in the coming season, and let all of our gardens be victorious.
Okay. You said it.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.